Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You have no doubt heard this phrase many, many times, that if you want to follow Jesus, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. I want to get at that text, that really seminal, deep text, through Abram. It seems like a strange place to start. Well, you know the story about how a covenant was made with Abram by God, that God said, I will be your God and you will be my people, and I will make of you a great nation. And from you will come descendants as numerous as the sands of the desert and the stars of the sky. And in this text, for the first time, it isn't just Abram who is included in the promise. But in fact, Sarai also is included in the promise. That indeed Abram's great issue, his great multitudes, will not come from Hagar, his slave, but from Sarah. It's unfortunate that when this text comes around, they always cut it off at 16. It says, I will bless her, and she will give rise to nation. Kings of peoples shall come from her. And then it says in 17, and Abram fell on his face and laughed. And he said, how is it that this promise will come true for me who is as good as dead, and for my wife who is 99 years old? And it's not a laughter, ha ha, but a laughter of irony, of almost despair. How will this be? Abram knows that God's promise seems unlikely, and yet he believes God. And that's the key in this text. Now, let's be careful. It doesn't say that Abram believed in God, but rather that Abram believed God. And it says in our text that God reckoned his faith to him as righteousness. In Luther's commentary on Genesis, he says, this is the first instance in the scripture in which faith itself is praised as something valuable. It's not that no one else had faith, but rather for the first time God says to someone, your faith will be reckoned to you as righteousness. It doesn't seem like much to us until we begin to unpack it in our own lives. Most of us, myself included, grew up with a kind of piety that's akin to modern economics, or even ancient economics. There's a kind of tit-for-tat that happens within our life with God. Now, you remember that often we think that, if you do something good, God will reward you. And if you do something bad, God will blow you up. It's a simple, easily navigated relationship. Everyone does their part. But in this text, God seems to unravel that very simple equation and introduce something much more complex and much more interesting. Abram believed God's promise. And it wasn't through anything that Abram did. It wasn't through any good work. It wasn't because Abram was a particularly lovely fellow. but that because he believed God, God reckoned it to him as righteousness, as being in good relationship with God. Now in Romans, Paul will extrapolate this out for us. When I was growing up in Sunday school, I remember how I was constantly reminded as a child to be a good Christian. But no one really told me exactly what that meant. I suspected it meant that I probably should stop hitting my brother, my little brother, on the head. I suspected that it had something to do with the Ten Commandments. I was pretty sure, as most of us grow up in sort of an American civil religion, that it means that we should be relatively nice to each other within certain bounds. But that is empty righteousness, Paul seems to imply in Romans. Instead, the righteousness is reckoned to us through the cross. So that just as Abram's belief of God's promise and God's word is reckoned to him as righteousness, so the cross is reckoned to us as righteousness. And Jesus tells us to pick it up. To pick it up and follow Jesus. Well, what will that mean for us to pick up the cross? It's so antithetical to everything we were trained to believe. He starts out with these words, first, deny yourself. A wonderful text in the midst of Lent, isn't it? Deny yourself. Give up chocolate. Give up, as one of my friends did, French fries from McDonald's every day but Sunday. Deny yourself. Stop eating sugar just deny yourself something. Take up your cross and follow. We don't take that word of Jesus all that terribly seriously. The word that's used in the text is psyche. Deny your, literally, self. The thing that makes you, you. That sets you apart from all the other things and beings. Deny yourself and follow. It's more than just giving up something for Lent. It's being drawn into relationship with the world in a way that is different than that which we have become accustomed. We live in a world where truly I'm number one, or all that matters is me and what I can get. We live in a world where that sort of attitude not only has become prevalent, but the norm. I mean, after all, as I look at the economic crisis and the panic that's ensued, I don't know if you heard this particular story, but someone was asking the question when the issue came up about the CEOs of these companies being limited to $500,000 a year in income, which I thought sounded pretty good. Someone on one of the radio shows called and said, well, the problem is that they've become accustomed to a much higher way of living. They have $40,000 a month mortgage payments. It's absurd. I mean, for anyone even to believe that somehow the issue is us, so much so that we don't even blink at that, to me, the absurdity of the turned in on ourselves way that sometimes our culture lives demonstrates that Paul is right. that the start to following Jesus is to deny ourselves, to begin so that we can see into the eyes of our neighbor and into the heart of the world. What happens with Abram, now Abraham, is he becomes the father not just of his own nation, but of many nations. God's vision for God's life and God's people expands out, multiplies, so that God's word can be for the world. In the same way for Christian people, in the moment we become religious, in the moment that our time together in worship and in prayer and in reading becomes simply for our own sake, we miss the point of the cross. Jesus didn't die on the cross just for you, although that is true. But Jesus died on the cross for all our sake and for the world. The problem is, we need to learn how to do it. Fred Buechner, in his commentary about Jesus, said that Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness learning how to be Jesus. And every year, Christians spend 40 days during Lent trying to figure out how to be Christians. We begin by denying ourselves and picking up the cross, which is reckoned to us as righteousness, and following Jesus. Sometimes the church is accused of not doing that. Sometimes we in the church are accused of, in fact, just having our own little religious experience. But again and again, we need to lift up those stories of how God is drawing us out into the world. Last week, I read in the newspaper a story. It was an editorial. It was in response to the issue of homelessness here in Oahu and how it is continuing to grow in frequency and in volume as the economy begins to continues to sink. And in this letter, he said, what needs to happen is all of those Christian churches that have all of that land and all of those buildings need to open it up and put tents on their property for all of the homeless people so they can get out of our parks. After all, isn't that what churches are for? His intimation in the letter was that churches are simply not doing their part. That somehow what we're doing has nothing to do with being compassionate and caring and loving and giving ourselves up. And there is some truth to what he says. And yet. Yesterday I sat here for an hour and a half and I watched children give of their time and their gifts, not for themselves. I watched a little short guy, he couldn't have been any taller than this, do Julius Caesar out of Shakespeare. Friends, Romans, countrymen, he said. And we listened. I watched a little short guy about this big, whose tuba was this big, blow that thing for God's glory. Violin and cello, song and drum. They were picking up their cross to follow Jesus in the way that God had given them to follow Jesus. Not for their own aggrandizement, although the applause certainly didn't help, or didn't hurt. Well, that was a Freudian slip. But so that generations could eat. we ourselves sometimes do not see how we're picking up the cross of Christ and how we follow Jesus. And so as we leave this place today and we continue on our 40 days of trying to figure out what it means to be a Christian, I hope that we can understand the connection between Jesus' messiahship and our own discipleship. Between the words and the experience of Abram and Sarai, who were transformed in name and body, for whom a nation was born, that we too might give birth to a nation of faith in our following as we take up the cross that was reckoned as righteousness for us. Amen.